Thank you, Gary. Gary has tipped the bucket open now, and we can look at some substantial points here. I agree we should look at Paul. I mean, he's a main man here. In fact, we should look at both Pauls, because if you read the epistles, you'll actually identify a totally different man from the one you read in the book of Acts. Now, that should make you wonder for a start. Why is the man who writes these epistles, why is he this bombastic bully, whereas the man you find written up in the book of Acts is this team player who's on side with the other disciples? He's taken, he's delivered, he's brought here, he's brought there. That is not the Paul that lays down the law in his epistles. So that at least should make you wonder. Okay, he mentions this early creed, which I referred to in the Snow White story. Yeah, I agree, it's a creed. And the way you can identify it's a creed, if you take the verses before and after, you realise they run onto each other. The creed is there, and it wasn't part of the original. Now, let me give you an alternative to this idea, as Gary goes with his timeline back to the beginning. You know, there is an alternative, that creed was not there at the beginning, it was inserted afterwards. And he mentions Gert Ludermann as agreeing with it. Well, I'll give him a scholar. Robert Price does not. Okay, we can all quote scholars. Robert Price says that's an interpolation inserted in the second century. And that's more likely, and I'll tell you why that's more likely. Compare the possibilities. Would people who witness an extraordinary event called the resurrection rush off and write down a creed? Would they really do that? First he was seen of Cephas, and then he was seen of the disciples, etc., etc. Would they really do that? Where do we get creeds from? You think of the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, various other creeds of the church. Where do they originate? Do they start with those? No, they are the resolution of church conflict. They come out of the struggle of different contended factions of Christianity to agree what they were going to believe. And after the fight, which was acrimonious, often violent, if you consider the origin of the Nicene Creed, it came after the battle with the Arians, and Arius was murdered. You know, and then you have the creed. You don't have it to begin with, so at least consider the alternative to this earliness of the creed. It's a later interpolation. Compare that creed to what is said in the actual Gospels. First he was seen of Cephas. What was he? What does the book of John say? I thought that was Mary Magdalene. You know, if you compare the creed to the Gospel story, it doesn't link at all. Let's take one other very crucial line that perhaps Gary can illuminate. Paul, in his creed, says Jesus was seen above 500 of the brethren. Where does it come from? Certainly not found in the Gospels. Isn't it curious that Matthew, Mark, Luke and John don't refer to 500 witnesses of the resurrection? I wonder if Gary can provide an explanation for that, because I can. It's found in the Buddhist texts. There's an explanation for you. Gary, I think we'll be hard-pressed to find an explanation for it. Let's take another matter relating to Paul. Notice how it slipped into the dialogue, the authentic epistles of Paul. Now, I would suggest that if you actually start any study of the epistles, you will realise that from the word go, many of them are fake. The debate among scholars is just how many of them are fake. Everyone seems to agree that Hebrews was not really written by Paul, but were any of the others? Were the prison epistles? You know, were the pastoral epistles? Weren't they written by the church to try and establish the power of the bishops later in the second century? That whole genre of Pauline literature was fabricated, and okay, it is more difficult with some core epistles to identify quite when they originated and quite by whom they were written, but clearly there are several writers involved in the so-called Pauline epistles. So there's many gaps in Gary's story there. He uses, as I've noticed, the word data. Data, really, relating to supposed events. I would say if you try and build up a timeline, which part of the story do you begin with assuming is correct? Because you can build a timeline so long as you assume, for example, I'm sure Gary will assume, well, Jesus was crucified and there was an empty tomb. Let's assume that bit, then let's try and work out the rest. But why should we make that assumption? Should we not actually find evidence of everything? You know, if we are to believe that this is truth and not a fairy tale, should it not all be substantiated? So I put it to you, there are so many areas of concern and doubt in the story. This cleverly wrapping it up with so multiple witnesses is all a fraud. It's all a fraud. And we can go on to look at these many witnesses, which I'm sure Gary will want to cite, and actually look what they say. And when you look at what they say, it really doesn't substantiate the claims made for them. So I repeat, we are dealing with a fairy story.
I commend you on getting what I count 7 arguments in 5 minutes. That's brilliant, and I mean that. Let me try to respond to all 7. First question, which Paul do we believe? The Paul of the Acts or the Paul of the Epistles? It's very easy in terms of my debate tonight. I've already said I'll be glad to go back and talk about the Gospels, and I'll put Acts in that group. But I'm starting with Paul's authentic epistles tonight. More about that in a moment. So it's very easy. If somebody were to say to me, Acts contradicts Paul, I say, hey, I disagree. And I'll be glad to talk to you about that tonight. But that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm going to stay with Paul. So if you say you must choose, I'll take Paul. It's that easy. A later book can't militate against the early one. And by the way, who concludes that? John Dominic Crossan. He said, when Acts goes against Paul, I'll take Paul every time. I didn't think I agreed with Dom on too much, but I agree. The Creed. Bob Price is a very good friend of mine, and he and I have dialogued. You can find this on our website. Bob, okay, we're not going to settle with head count. Bob is about, there might be 3 other scholars in the world. My bibliography in the resurrection is over 3,000 sources. Bob is about the only person who believes this portion is interpolated. Richard Carrier, from the same Internet Infidels group in America, Richard thinks Bob is incorrect. Now, I mean, that can happen. But if we find a person and say, well, Bob disagrees with you, okay. Without exaggerating, in fact, I have a book right here where you can check the endnote out. I have 30 scholars in here, all of them skeptics, all of them critics, all of them agnostics, and they agree with this timeline. Now, look, I'm not saying it's 30-1, therefore I'm right. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying remember my lead comment, if it's 30-1, it's probably because the reasons are better on that side, okay? Thirdly, and he also made the comment about the Arian Creed. I might have misunderstood him, but it sounded like he said it wasn't even around then. Folks, let me tell you something. All 58 verses of 1 Corinthians are in the earliest papyri. They might even be dated from 150, but by 200. Anyway, all 58 verses are there. So it's nothing that took, you know, like Arians would be 4th century. It's there. Mary Magdalene or Peter? Sure, Paul starts out with Peter. And so does Luke, by the way, as far as the men are concerned. Now, I admit, the women, appearances to the women predate the men. We can discuss this. But in the early church, sorry ladies, they generally did not let women testify in a court of law. They did, but not usually. Now, I think that's wrong, and we probably all think it's wrong. But that, according to most scholars, is why Paul did not start. It's not Paul anyway. It's a pre-Pauline creed. But that's why they did not start with the women. Because if you can put your best foot forward, you know, put Peter out there. And the very first appearance to the men, we're told by both Paul and Luke, is to Peter. 500 witnesses at one time. Thank you. 500 witnesses at one time. This is like the Acts objection. He says, well, tell me where this thing fits in the Gospels. On the methodology I'm doing tonight, it's irrelevant. Now, I'll tell you where gospel scholars put it. I'll just go ahead and put that in there, but this isn't the point I'm trying to make. Gospel scholars will often try to say the most likely place for the appearance of the 500 in the gospel narrative is the appearance in the mountain in Galilee. If 5,000 could be out there for the feeding of the 5,000 or the Sermon on the Mount, certainly 500 could be out there. I'm just telling you what the commentaries say. But once again, the reason I'm not trying to put Paul into the Gospels is because the way I set this argument out, I'm only using Paul. So to say, why can't we find this in the Gospels is a red herring to me. I want to talk about Paul. Seven epistles. He said, well, look, there's some epistles that almost everybody, at least critical scholars, think Paul didn't write. And he's correct. There's 13 epistles. Hebrews is not one of them. But there's 13 epistles that bear Paul's name. I already said G.A. Wells. The list that most scholars will give you is about seven. G.A. Wells throws Colossians in there. But watch. If there's epistles that we don't use, guess what? We just won't use them. It's not an issue. Let's talk about the seven or eight authentic epistles. Because if he says, I won't agree with you on the pastorals, example he used, I'd say, let's set the pastorals aside for tonight. Let's talk about only two. I only use two texts, 1 Corinthians 15 and the break between Galatians 1 to Galatians 2. It's the only one I'm using. I don't care about books that somebody thinks aren't written by Paul. Let's talk about the ones that the agnostic Bart Ehrman, New Testament specialist, says are the undisputed Pauline epistles. He basically, by undisputed, he means virtually no one disagrees. Let's talk about the positive material, not red herrings. The last thing I have here, data and the timeline. Folks, let me remind you, this timeline is not Gary Habermas's. I did not invent this. This came from the 60s and 70s from highly critical scholars. The Gerrit Ludemans, Dom Crossans, I mentioned them, the Bart Ehrmans of the world. This is not a believer's contrived timeline. It's a skeptically contrived timeline, if it's contrived. But what I'm saying is it didn't come from us. So critical scholars do it. I think it's fair if we use data that we share for good reasons.